Welcome to this week's Paradesk for September the 6th, 2009. Not much to say, really, apart from look out for the next show, the main Bad Moon Rising show, which we will be dealing with time travel and all things time travel-esque. Also, I believe we'll be conducting an experiment. I'm not sure, too sure on the details of that yet. But look out for the Bib report for further details, and just look out for the main show. Should be around in 2 or 3 weeks. Okay, let's get on with the news. Okay, this story from the Cairnar von Denbigh Herald.co.uk. String of UFO sightings in North Wales. Strange flashing lights spotted in the sky during a power cut have prompted a spate of UFO sightings. The Herald has received several calls from residents who claim to have seen glowing boomerang and cigar-shaped objects floating in the sky over Taliesin during the early hours of Monday morning. The sightings occurred during a power cut which plunged the village and the surrounding area into total darkness for an hour. One caller who did not want to be named said, "I sleep very badly and was on my way to the bathroom when I opened the curtains and saw this blinding emerald green light. The whole village was pitch black, so it obviously stood out. It was the size of a car, had 3 lights on and was travelling at no faster than walking pace. Also, one of the lights coming from it had a strobe type effect." Another eyewitness said, "I was downstairs when I saw this flash of brilliant bright light from the window. I looked out and saw this cigar-shaped object filled with light floating in the sky. It was incredible. Judging by the way it moved, it definitely wasn't an aeroplane or anything I'd seen before." This isn't the first time that Taliesin has hit the headlines for being a UFO hotspot. Richard Foxhall from Taliesin has written the only Welsh language book about UFO sightings. He was spurred on after his investigation into strange lights above Dyffryn Nantlle drew a blank. In 1996, he saw a strange light above Tally Myngdned Mountain, which he reported to the Ministry of Defence. The MOD, Civil Aviation Authority, North Wales Police and CIA had no record of flights in the area at that time. Taliesin councillor Dilwyn Lloyd said such sightings were not uncommon. "I have had a couple of calls from people in the village who said they saw similar things in the sky during the early hours of Monday morning. I've spoken to someone who was taking his dog for a walk near Dyrs y Coed Nantlle one night and saw orange, red and emerald green light in the sky. The next morning there were 2 military helicopters searching the area. It is very strange. Personally, I have never seen anything, but we would be naive to think we are the only life forms of all the planets in the universe. For the past couple of years, there have been constant sightings in August." Why August? Perhaps they're on their holidays and want to come see the beautiful scenery we have here. This story from the dailymail.co.uk, dated 28th of August. Police baffled as dozens of suicidal cows throw themselves off cliff in the Alps. In the picturesque Swiss village of Lauterbrunnen, the locals are worried. Dozens of alpine cows appear to be committing suicide by throwing themselves off a cliff near the small village in the Alps. In the space of just 3 days, 28 cows and bulls have mysteriously died after they plunged hundreds of meters to rocks below, where they were killed instantly. In each case, local mountain rescue services, using a helicopter, had to be called in to remove the bodies because of the danger to the local groundwater of pollution. A police spokesman said there are no large carnivores living in the Alps anymore who would once have disposed of the bodies, so they have to be moved. We are investigating because cows growing up in the mountains normally can estimate dangers and do not plunge down cliffs. According to local reports, there had been violent thunderstorms in the area, which may well have spooked the animals. Cows wandering at high altitude are a common sight across much of the Alps, where farmers let them loose to graze on the green plateaus above the villages. Often carrying large bells around their necks, most are dairy cows, as the mix of vegetation and grasses at the high altitude are particularly good for milk and for making cheese. Cows do occasionally fall to their deaths in these alpine regions, although it is rare for so many to fall in one particular place. There has been speculation in the past that when this does happen, it is because a tightly grouped number have followed each other as they search for more grass. Most scientists generally believe that animals are incapable of committing suicide. Even lemmings, which by popular myth throw themselves off cliffs during mating season, do not take their own lives intentionally. Instead, evolutionary pressures cause them to feel the urge to change habitat, at which point they migrate in huge droves. Sometimes, particularly in Scandinavia, they reach cliff tops, overlooking an ocean, and, driven by the urge to cross a body of water, throw themselves off in order to swim to the other side. They often die of exhaustion or drown as a result. The myth came to the public's attention when a Disney wildlife film in the 50s mocked up the lemming migration to make it look like the animals had committed suicide. Okay, this story from dailymail.co.uk. Bit of a strange one. Father's fury over children's pornographic sweet wrappers. 28th of August. A father of two has spoken of his disgust after spotting fruity cartoon characters appearing to have sex on sweet wrappers. Simon Simpkins was buying Haribo Mauiam Sara candies for his children when he noticed the pornographic illustrations of limes, lemons and cherries romping with each other. Mr. Simpkins of Pontefract, West Yorkshire said, "Lemon and lime are locked in what appears to be a carnal encounter." According to Mr. Simpkins, the lime has a particularly lurid expression on its face during its encounter with a lemon. The lime, whom I assume to be the gentleman in this coupling, has a particularly lurid expression on his face. He said, "I demanded to see the shop manager and, during a heated exchange, my wife became quite distressed. I demanded to see the shop manager and during a heated exchange my wife became quite distressed and had to sit down in the car park." A spokesman for Haribo said the fun packaging of the sweets was introduced in Germany 2002 and added, "This jovial Mauam man is very popular with fans, both young and old." Ancient pot. Stash of 2,700 years old marijuana found in tomb in Gobi Desert. March. No, we are not talking about a ceramic object, but an ancient stash of marijuana. It was found in a Yanghai tomb in the Gobi Desert near Turpan in northwestern China. The cache consisted of 789 grams, 28 ounces, of dried cannabis, contained in a leather basket and in a wooden bowl. It was around 2,700 years old, but had been preserved due to extremely dry conditions and alkaline soil. It looked green, although it had lost its distinctive odour. Remnants of cannabis have been found elsewhere in the ancient world, such as Egypt, but the helpful conditions in which the cache was found has allowed it to be the oldest so far that could be subjected to carbon dating and genetic analysis. It was also found to have a relatively high content of THC, the main active ingredient in cannabis. An attempt to germinate 100 of the seeds was unsuccessful. In the past, those sceptical of the mind-altering use of cannabis in prehistory have claimed, somewhat disingenuously, that it was only used for making rope, fabric, and so forth, but they can't get away with it this time. This Chinese sample was clearly cultivated for psychoactive purposes, a paper in the peer-reviewed Journal of Experimental Botany states. To our knowledge, these investigations provide the oldest documentation of cannabis as a pharmacologically active agent, wrote the paper's lead author, American neurologist Dr. Ethan B. Russo. It could not be determined whether the cannabis was smoked or ingested, because there were no pipes or other clues. Perhaps the strangest aspect of this find is that the cannabis was uncovered in the tomb of a light-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian man, not an Asiatic person. He would have been a member of the somewhat curious Cheshi clan, a group of nomadic people of Indo-European origin who inhabited the region. The tomb also contained bridles, archery equipment, and a harp, confirming the 45-year-old man's high status. The researchers assume he had been a shaman. Another intriguing side issue regarding this case is that a British laboratory that monitors crop quality for producing Sativex, a cannabis-based medicine approved in Canada, was used to conduct the tests on the cannabis find, but it took months to cut through the red tape hindering the entry of the sample into Britain from China. A perfect cameo showing how eccentric our modern Western attitudes to mind-altering drugs are compared with our ancestors. It is now confirmed that our politicians, who endlessly claim that more tests on cannabis are required, and insist on categorising it as a dangerous drug, are not only going against the recommendations of their own panels of experts, but also the long testimony of history. Okay, this next story from the good old BBC. Paper lanterns spark UFO report. 30th of August. Reports of bright orange lights over the night sky on Tyneside were sparked by illuminated paper lanterns being released in a park, police said. Witnesses reported seeing clusters of light speeding through the sky from the Gateshead area on Saturday night. One man called police to report orange-coloured objects flying over his house, a police spokesman said. Inquiries later found a number of paper lanterns had been set off in nearby Saltwell Park. Rob Middleton, 55, of Considon Place, Gateshead, said dozens of people came out on the street to view the objects. He said there was about 30 or 40 lights in total, and they were flying in formation in a straight line for up to about half an hour. They were really low, and there was no tail behind them. They were definitely not aeroplanes. Everyone was gathered in the street watching, and some people were expecting an alien invasion. Andy Howland, 38, of Leeds, also saw the lights, but from the other side of the River Tyne during a visit to Newcastle. He said it was a really weird sight. At first, there was little clusters of about four or five lights, and then after that, there were big rose-coloured ones. They all came in from the Gateshead area, and then headed out to sea. Okay, that's it for this week's Paradesk. Look out for another edition next week, keeping you up to date with the paranormal. Obviously, look out for the Bib Report, and keep your eye out for that time travel show coming up soon.